You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
Well, I just want to welcome everybody to our Sunday morning service, and I welcome each and every one of you, especially our kids. This is one of the Sundays that we get to enjoy the sounds of a growing church. So please, if you have a child and they are making noise, don't be ashamed. We love the sound, again, because that's the sound of a growing church. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Gus Bird. I'm one of the pastors and one of the elders here. And today I'll be preaching to you sermon number 2 of our new sermon series, A Redeemed Community. And last week we looked over verses 1-3 of chapter 107 in the Psalms. And in those verses we saw how God doesn't just save, He redeems. Meaning that no matter what banner you held previously, that you felt identified your life and experiences, we get a new banner. No matter what that banner said, if it was victim or abuser, orphan, murderer, worthless, whatever that banner was, God saves us out of that life. And He redeems us, meaning He gives us a new identity. Because He's a God who doesn't just save, He redeems. So today we're going to be looking at verses 4-9. And while you're turning in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 107, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for being who you are. A God who has every right to be mad at us, to be disappointed, to be upset. But that is not your nature. You are a God whose natural tendency is one of grace and mercy. So Lord, this morning we gather together before a merciful and gracious God, a good Father abounding in steadfast love towards us. We gather before you to hear from you again, to learn once more, to be reminded once more of how good you are. Not because these are stories that may happen in the future, but these are things that have happened in the past. These are stories and experiences that are shared. And if we were to talk to generations past, we would hear the same stories of how you have redeemed and saved and loved and been gracious and merciful. So thank you, Lord, that these stories, especially the stories found in Psalm 107, are true. And we get to sit and we get to read and we get to savor your goodness. So, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, starting in verse 4 of Psalm 107, we see a people who are lost. Now, last week I talked about how verses 1-3 described how no matter where you come from, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what condition you find yourself in, God saves. So what the rest of this chapter does is it explains multiple circumstances how God has saved and how God does save. And again, the purpose of 107 is to tell you, to proclaim to you, no matter where you find yourself, you could be in the furthest corners of the earth, east, west, north, south. You could be in the worst circumstances that are just described here in verse chapter 107. No matter what, God saves and he redeems. What we find in verses 4 through 9 is that the first group of people that we will learn about are people who are lost. And they're lost because they have no safety, they have no permanence, and they have a misplaced hope. So again, starting in verse 4, some wandered in the desolate wilderness, finding no way to a city where they could live. They were hungry and thirsty. Their spirits failed within them. Now, the first description we read about of these people, that they have no path and no direction. And they're searching for a city. They're wandering through this desert and they can't find their way to a city. Now, some of you may question, like, what's the problem with wandering? Like, we see it on the back of Jeeps all the time, you know? Those, not all who wander are lost. But putting ourselves in their context, when you're wandering in the wilderness, wandering in the desert, looking for a city, you have no safety, and there's no permanence there. Now again, if you and I are wandering around with no place to call home, that's a scary place to be in. There's a feeling of vulnerability because there's no protection from the elements. If we were in the desert without shelter, the sun and the wind during the day and the cold and the wind during the night would be enough to kill you. And again, putting ourselves in their context, there's, in the desert, in the wilderness, there's thieves, there's wildlife. And some of us, that we dream of being lost in the wilderness. You know, me and my wife, we dream of a day that maybe we'll have a farm, you know, outside the city. Maybe we can find peace there. Place to rest. But the psalmist isn't in this time. Back then, a place, if you were without a city, you had no shelter. There was no protection for you. Any wilderness, any elements that came, you were exposed. So, without a city, you had no place to rest because there was no safety. And without a city, you had no permanence. While a city offers a place of physical rest and safety, permanence offers an emotional rest, mental comfort. It's a place where you belong, that you can say, that's where I come from. I've talked to a lot of soldiers, and one of the most heartbreaking things when you talk to some of them and ask the question, where are you from? Or where did you grow up? That's a difficult question to answer. I don't know how to answer that. You can see tears welling up in their eyes as they try to put together the words that would accurately describe how they lack permanence in their life. Maybe they went from home to home, not knowing when they were going to have to move again, or not knowing when they're going to be cast out again. There's no permanence. There's no place for them to say, that's where I come from. There's no place for them to say, that's where I belong. It's a place where you feel like you can always go back to, because that's where you belong. And without safety or permanence, these people find no rest. So it's no wonder that their spirits failed. Now, here's where it gets a little deep, because what could cause people to fail? What could cause their spirit to fail? And it's clear that these people are in a difficult situation. But we've heard many stories of people in dire situations who their spirit didn't fail. Often these people who survive get through extraordinary circumstances because they were able to maintain hope. Now, one of the trainings that I've had to do this year is an online version of SEER, which stands for Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. Basically, it's how not to get caught and what to do if you do get caught. And one of the things they teach you if you get captured is to maintain hope. Because simply maintaining hope drastically increases your chances of survival. Now, they can't tell you what to hope in. They make suggestions like hope in your country, hope in your fellow servicemen who are working diligently to rescue you. And they do mention faith and a few other things. But they know that if you're able to maintain hope, you can survive. So why are the spirit of these people found in these verses? Why are these people, why are their spirits failing? I mean, they had hope, right? They hadn't given up. They were still searching for a city. But I think that's the key. Where was their hope? I would argue that their spirit is failing because they are putting their hope in the wrong thing. What does verse 4 say? Some wandered in the desolate wilderness, finding no way to a city where they would live. They were seeking a city. In other words, their hope was not in God. It was a change in their circumstances. They kept searching. They would try going this way and going that way, trying to find a change in their circumstance. Maybe if we got there, we would find rest. Maybe if we got to the next place, we would find rest. How many of us are guilty of that? The people found in these verses are guilty of thinking, if only. Like us, if only I had a better job. If only I had a better car. If only I had a better body. Or maybe if only I had the next beer. The next relationship, the next phone, the next house. Like drinking salt water to quench your thirst, which, by the way, just makes you more thirsty. They didn't find safety. They didn't find permanence. They found hunger and thirst. They're seeking to solve their own problems in seeking a city. And all they found was more of what they already had. Hunger and thirst. You can look at the path that they're on as the wrong path. It's when we seek to solve ourselves, to fix ourselves under our own means, which will only lead to the problem getting worse. And what happens is it drives them further and further away from safety and permanence. They find themselves alone. You could say they're socially isolated, wandering the desert. And what struck me about these verses is how it sounded familiar. It reminded me of Genesis 21, 14 through 16, the story of Hagar. Now, if you don't know about Hagar, Hagar was Abraham's slave, who he had a child with. And because he had a illegitimate child outside of his marriage, his wife, Sarah, treated her poorly. Her life was full of misery. She ran away after she found out she was pregnant. And God saw her. And God told her to go back. But even in that desperate situation, Hagar, she names God, the God who sees me. And she even names her child, Ishmael, which means God hears. Now, in Genesis chapter 21, verses 14 through 16, we read of the second time she leaves. Early in the morning, Abraham got up, took bread and water skin, put them on Hagar's shoulders, and sent her and the boy away. She left and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she left the boy under one of the bushes and went and sat at a distance, about a bow shot away. For she said, I cannot bear to watch the boy die. While she sat at a distance, she wept loudly. Why did she weep? She wept because her spirit had failed. She had given up on her circumstances changing for the better. She and Ishmael had wandered the desert and the wilderness, finding no place to rest for her or her son. And with no more water, and it's likely that the bread was gone too. She was hungry and thirsty. She gives up and she cries out. And I would argue that she cries out to God. I believe this because she names her son Ishmael, a God who hears. Now, I know some translations translate this last bit as the boy wept loudly. But I am on the side of the translators of the CSB and argue that it's better translated, she wept loudly. I believe this because while the rest of the passage talks about how God responds to the boy crying, it doesn't mean that Hagar's cries were ineffective. I mean, besides the fact that the pronoun and the verb used in this phrase are both feminine, I believe that God honors our cries when we cry on behalf of another, when we mourn with another. And also, don't underestimate the power of a single mother. When she cried out to God, she was crying out because surely her son was going to die. And because of her prayer, God responds to Ishmael's cry. So like Hagar, in verse 6, we read that these people lost in the wilderness cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and God rescued them from their distress. What I think is powerful about this passage and the truth that it tells us, that it tells us, it proclaims to us that God hears us. God hears us when we cry. And he responds to those cries. What is something to savor about this truth is that one of the worst conditions you can find yourself in is a place where you aren't heard. A place where you have no voice. No matter how loud you cry out, nobody's gonna respond. Nobody's gonna care to respond. And that will never, ever be our case. In a book called When Helping Hurts, Steve Corbett and Brian Ficker write, while poor people mention having a lack of material things, they tend to describe their condition far more psychological and social terms than our North American audiences. Poor people typically talk in terms of shame, inferiority, powerlessness, humiliation, fear, hopelessness, depression, social isolation, and voicelessness. One of the things I love about being a Christian is the fact that we can be sure that we will always have a voice. We will always be heard because God hears our cries. Again, God hears our cries. And he doesn't just hear our cries, he responds. Again, verse 6, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He rescued them from their distress. And distress here is a state of anguish or state of affliction. When you cry out to God, you can be sure he hears you because God hears our cries. And he saves you out of that state. Out of that state of anguish, out of that state of affliction, God hears you and he saves you. Let me be clear that I don't believe that at this point in this chapter, that God has already changed their circumstances. I believe at this point, their relief came from just knowing that God heard them. They could have been in the middle of the desert still. still hungry, still thirsty, just simply knowing that they've been heard is enough to relieve their suffering. Even if he hadn't brought food, even if he hadn't brought water yet, simple fact that their cries were heard were enough to alleviate their distress. He didn't bring them water. He didn't bring them food yet. He didn't bring them a city. He brought himself. Let me just be clear to you. You'll be amazed at what you can endure if you'd simply rest in the fact that you have God. You don't have to have wealth. You don't have to have food, water, shelter, security, permanence. If you have God, you can endure. You can survive. You can thrive because your identity isn't in your circumstances. Your identity isn't lost. Your identity isn't hungry or thirsty. Your identity is child of God. And then after they finally turn to God and he hears them, God leads them by the right path, verse 7, to go to a city where they could live. So again, God doesn't just save his people, he redeems them. Before they go from a place of no safety, no permanence, no place to rest, and they go to people whose thirst is quenched, more than not being hungry, they are filled and satisfied with good things. I love this verse too, because he doesn't just fill them. He fills them with good things. I think we all know the experience of what happens if you're starving and you fill yourself up with candy and junk food. It's a different feeling than if you're filled with good food, like steak and potatoes. That's a different feeling. We find the same account with Hagar. We're in chapter 21, it goes on to say, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the boy crying from the place where he is. Get up, help the boy up, and grasp his hand, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well. So she went and filled the water skin and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew. He settled in the wilderness and became an archer. He settled in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. These aren't just random circumstances. These aren't just stories made up. These are testimonies of how God hears and how he responds. How God doesn't just save you out of circumstances, how he redeems. Hagar and Ishmael were no longer a people lost in the wilderness. Ishmael was no longer abandoned under a tree, hungry and thirsty, left for dead. He was a boy who settled in a land. He became an archer. There's got to be some redemptive power there where his mother went a bow shot away and he becomes an archer. And see, that's what we're trying to do. That's what we seek to do here. We don't want to just share with you facts about God. We want to share with you stories of how God has worked, how God has heard our cries, how he has saved us and redeemed us. That's why we're doing what we're doing in Regroup and in home groups. We want to share our stories so that we may be heard by one another. We want to be a people who hears each other because we belong to a God who hears. And because we belong to a God who hears, we are meant to be a people who hear. We're not only meant to be a people who hear, we are meant to also beckon each other to the cross. Now, many people say, point each other to the cross, but that implies you're not at the cross yourself. If we beckon each other to the cross, it's because we have experienced the love of God. We have been saved ourselves. We have been redeemed ourselves, and we are calling you, come, taste and see how the Lord is good. This poor man cried, and he rescued me. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He rescued me from all my fears. This is Psalm 34, by the way. Look to him, because those who look to him are radiant with joy, and their faces will never be ashamed. How many of us are ashamed of our stories? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me, and he saved me from all my troubles. You can trust in the Lord because the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I used to feel worthless. Now I feel happy because I have taken refuge in him. I used to feel worthless. Now I find value where I saw, or maybe I in the past I was treated like I was worthless. I now see value because I see that God values me. Oh, that you would taste and see that the Lord is good. If you would only know that you are his holy ones, fear the Lord, for those who fear him lack nothing. Young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good. Oh, that you would taste and see that the Lord is good, because he is a God who hears us when we cry, and he saves us, and he redeems us. Please join me in praying Psalms 3. Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there is no help for him in God. But thank you, Lord, that you are a shield around me. You are a shield around us. You are our glory. You are the ones who lift up our heads. Though we want to hold our heads down in shame, you lift our heads up. We cry aloud to you, and you answer us. You answer us from your holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I'm able to lie down and sleep because I find rest in you. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Thank you, Lord, for sustaining us. We will not be afraid of 1,000 people, of thousands of people. Thousands of people who have taken their stand against us on every side. Rise up, Lord, save me, because you are our God. You strike down all our enemies on the cheek. You break their teeth, because salvation belongs to you, Lord. May your blessings be on your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of his Son. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.